Blog Talk Radio.
Almost live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee. Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now, here's your host, John.
Hey guys, welcome to It's Not Me, It's You, coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee on this beautiful spring day here in early April. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm actually kind of excited about it. I know we have some people that are going to be calling in. The theme of tonight is all about good guys or bad boys. And, you know, we all classify ourselves as one or the other as guys. And, you know, the women are always thinking about which one of, you know, what do they want? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a show on blondes and brunettes. And, you know, the general consensus of the public is that, you know, you want to date a blonde and marry a brunette. Well, I think a lot of women maybe want to date a bad boy but marry a good guy. And, you know, talking to some people tonight and over the last couple of days, well, I want to marry a good bad boy. Well, I don't know that those people exist or not, but, you know, we'll see. But before we get started, we're going to have music, obviously. This song we're going to start off with is a great song by my buddy Steve Mandeel of the band Sixwire, and the song is called Beautiful Spell. Enjoy.
It's like the most unusual dream. The more that I'm around you, it seems clear. That I try to speak, I'm floating around with my head in the clouds. I can tell the beautiful spell. Surrendered so much. Let this moment linger. Please don't snap your fingers, 'cause I don't ever wanna wake up. Don't want the morning sun to take us out of this haze. It's a wonderful place. I don't know what to do to me. I start unraveling. I am more than just hypnotized. You smile at me and I wonder what you got me under. I'm so overwhelmed by your beautiful spell. Me and I wonder what you got me under. I'm so
All right, that was Beautiful Spell by Steve Mandeel, the band Six Wire. So thanks, Steve, for letting us use that tune. Before we get started, I wanted to talk about something a little bit different than our topic, which, again, is going to be, you know, talking about good guys or bad boys and what women think about it and how men perceive themselves, that kind of thing. But I was talking to a friend of mine a couple days ago, and then I ran across this article online by a guy named Christopher Hudspeth, and he talks about 18 ugly truths about modern dating that you have to deal with. And I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit before we got into our topic tonight, because I thought it was really interesting, the 18 things that he talked about. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to read through them and see, you know, some opinions, you know, of these. So let me just get to it, okay? The number one, and again, this is the 18 ugly truths about modern dating that you, me, and everybody else have to deal with. At least one of them, if not 15 of them. So number one, the person who cares less has all the power. Nobody wants to be the one who's more interested. Number two, because we want to show how cavalier and blasé we can be to the other person, little psychological games like intentionally take hours or days to text back will happen. They aren't fun. And I trust me, they aren't. I don't know why you even bother dating anybody that would do that to you. Number three, a person being carefree because they have zero interest in you looks exactly like a person being carefree because they think you're amazing and are making a conscious effort to play cool. Good luck deciphering between the two. Number four, making phone calls is a dying art. Chances are most of your relationships' communications will happen via text, which is the most detached, impersonal form of interaction. Get familiar with those emoticon options. I agree with that one. I was talking to a friend of mine just this afternoon, and she was asking me, what's the biggest problem with dating these days? I said, we don't talk on the phone anymore, and that's absolutely true. Pick up the damn phone and call somebody instead of texting them. Number five, set plans are dead. People have options and up-to-the-minute updates on their friends or other potential romantic interests, whereabouts thanks to text and social media. If you aren't the top priority, your invitation to spend time will be given a maybe or I'll let you know, and the deciding factor will be if that person offers more fun or interesting than you on the table. So, yeah, that's also a sign that you don't want to date that person anymore, obviously. Number six, someone who hurt you isn't automatically going to have bad karma, at least not in the immediate future. I know it seems fair, but sometimes people cheat and betray and move on happily while the person they left behind is in shambles. Number seven, and again, if you're just joining us, these are the 18 ugly truths about modern dating that you and everybody else has to deal with. Number seven, the only difference between your actions being romantic and creepy is how attracted the other person finds you. That's it. That's all. So if they like you, it's being romantic. If they don't like you, it's being creepy. Number eight, let's chill and want to hang out are vague phrases that likely mean let's hook up. And while you probably hate receiving them, they're the common way to invite someone to spend time these days and appear to be here to stay. Number nine, some people just want to hook up, and if you are seeking more than sex, they won't tell you that. They won't tell you that they're the wrong person for you, at least not until after they score their prize. While human decency is ideal, honesty isn't mandatory. And on that point, we're going to talk a little bit more later when we talk about good guys and bad boys. Number 10, the text message you sent went through. If they didn't respond, it wasn't because of malfunctioning phone carrier services. Number 11, so many people are scared of commitment and being official that they'll remain in a label-free relationship, which blurs lines and only works until it doesn't. I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again, speaking from this author's point of view, we're just talking is opening the door for cheating that technically wasn't cheating because, hey, you weren't together. Number 12, social media creates new temptations and opportunities to cheat. The private messaging and options for subtle flirtation, you know, liking of pictures and liking of statuses, etc., aren't an excuse or validation for cheating, but they certainly increase the chances of it happening. Number 13, social media can also create the illusion of having options, which leads people to looking at Facebook as an attractive people menu instead of a means of keeping contact with friends and family. Kind of does seem like a smorgasbord, doesn't it, huh? Number 14, you aren't likely to see much of someone's genuine, unfiltered self until you're in an actual relationship with him or her. Generally, people are scared that sincerely putting themselves out there will result in finding out that they're too available, too anxious, too nerdy, too nice, too safe, too boring, not funny enough, not pretty enough, not some other person enough to be embraced by you. Number 15, any person you get romantically involved with, you'll either wind up staying with forever or breaking up with them at some point. These are equally terrifying concepts. I've talked about this one many times, that unless you marry them, you're going to break up with them. So, you know, it's how you deal with it that matters. Number 16, when dating, instead of expressing how they feel directly to you, a person is more likely to post a Facebook status or Instagram, a Tumblr-esque photo of a sunset with a quote or song lyric of someone else's words on it. And while it may not mention your name, it is blatantly directed at you. Number 17, there are plenty of people who will have zero respect for your relationship, and if they want the person you're with, they'll have no qualms with trying to overstep boundaries to go get them. Girl code and guy code are wishful thinking, and human code is not embedded in everyone. And lastly, if you get dumped, it's probably going to be pretty brutal. People can cut ties over the phone and avoid seeing the tears and stream down your face, or end things via text and avoid hearing the pain in your cracking voice and sniffling nose. Send a lengthy text and voila, relationship over. The easy way is far from the most considerate. So those are the 18 ugly truths about modern dating that we have to deal with. And you know what? I agree with every damn one of them. And I think that, you know, if we can even change a few of those, we might have better luck. Okay, so moving on to our topic of the night, which is, again, good guys versus bad boys. Now, this varies a lot in content. It varies a lot in perspective based on the gender. I mean, as a guy, I look at, you know, another guy as, you know, sorry, I see another man, it's like, all right, he's a cool dude, you know, he's buddy or whatever, but I don't look at him as, is he a bad boy or is he a good guy, okay, because I have no interest in dating a man, okay? But women look at it a little differently, and I think we're going to have some people calling in. If you're interested in calling in and offering your opinion, by the way, the number is 646-716-8891. Again, 646-716-8891. Also join us in the chat room, a couple people in there already that I'm sure would be happy to offer up opinions to what we are talking about. But, you know, a lot of women say they want a nice guy. I want to marry a nice guy. I love a nice guy. Nice guy. Well, they usually end up dating bad boys, and that's what I talked about earlier. They date the bad boys. They marry the good guys. But a lot of women would like to have both. But here's why, in some research that I did, here's why women end up dating bad boys. Nice guys are too nice, okay? Nobody can be that nice unless they're a saint. They're so busy being nice instead of being real that women instinctively don't trust that. Bad boys keep it real. Nice guys don't want to upset the apple cart. Now, I'm going to try to address these one at a time in my opinion. You have your opinion. If you have an opinion on your own, come online with us or hop in the chat room, one or the other. But I think that nice guys, and you know, I've been classified as a nice guy. I don't upset the apple cart too much. I do a little bit more now than I used to. It was always about, you know, are they going to like me? I want people to like me. Please like me, blah, blah, blah. Bad boys don't care. They don't care. They have an air of self-confidence about them. They have an air of almost arrogance. I was talking to, you know, somebody a little while ago about this, getting her opinion, and I wanted to find out what she thought. You know, and she is one of the ones that wanted to have a good bad boy. So I was, you know, we were talking about it. It's like, well, I don't think that person exists because it is something that you just don't see a lot of that. You know, as we get on with the list, you're going to see a little bit more of that, I think. But nice guys are also put into the friend zone very quickly. Friend zone. Hate friend zone. Okay. Anyway, the next one. Respect. There's an error of respect. No one respects a doormat. Nice guys don't set boundaries or make any real demands. A bad boy does not let a woman walk all over him or control him. Women can't respect a man they can control. No respect equals no attraction. Now, I would agree with that. And all right, there is a caller coming in. I'm going to bring her. I assume it's a her because I think it's Holly. Bring Holly on the line here for a second. She's going to help me go through this list. So hold on. Here we go. Hey, Holly. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good. If you all remember, this is Holly Tong, who is has a new book because she was on our show last week. And she has offered to come on and help us with the bad boy thing because Holly's one of these people that is attracted to bad boys, aren't ya?
You know, I have been, but this is actually perfect timing because I have really learned how bad they are for me. And I've learned that, in fact, in the end, I like the good, nice guy. I really do.
That's who you're going to marry is the nice guy, just like we talked about earlier. So,
absolutely.
All right, well, I'm going through
the
list.
Marry the nice guy.
Yeah, I'm going through the list of, you know, why women like to date bad boys. So let's go ahead and do that, and we'll address each one if you want to do that, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right, we talked about not being real. We talked about respect. The next one is predictability. Most people who lead boring, predictable lives are the nice guys, quote unquote. They're attracted to people who lead exciting and are a bit unpredictable. Bad boys always are a challenge. Nice guys are never a challenge. Predictability plus no excitement plus no challenge equals she wants a bad boy. You agree with that?
You know, I do agree with that to an extent. And I think for me, there was just always something about a bad boy. There's that excitement to them, like you said. And I think for me, I always like to see the diamond in the rough. I liked maybe the challenge that went with it. Maybe everybody else seeing him as bad, but I saw that 1% of him that was good, or I wanted to believe that maybe I could be that person that would make
right.
a bad boy good. Because, you know, I have the social work background, and I just the person that I am, I just like to always think that I can help people out and I can make things better. And so I was a little bit of a missionary dater in my younger years, but, you know, that's done, and I've realized how that just doesn't work out. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. I would definitely agree with that. I think there's an excitement, and I think that there's – I don't know. It just feels cool. It feels adventurous, and I think sometimes girls kind of deceive themselves into thinking that a nice guy doesn't bring any excitement. And I've been learning firsthand that doesn't mean, you know, just because he's a nice guy, it doesn't mean that there's no excitement to him.
Right. All right. Well, the next one, women are designed to nurture, most women anyway. But instead of doing this with children, they often end up doing it with the bad boy. They think
mm-hmm.
their love will save the bad boy. So
mm-hmm.
nice guys rarely need to be saved. And that goes in kind of with the next one where, you know, women like to change men, don't you? Don't deny that either. You like to change men. So you see a bad boy as a fixer-upper almost, where, you know, the nice guy doesn't need to be fixed. The bad boy usually does. They're scruffier. They have, you know, their clothing may not be as, you know, is a little more tattered, but they buy it that way. It's not because they don't have anything. But women want to try and create the perfect man. That way he will
mm-hmm.
never leave them. So they try to fix people. Well, nice guys don't need to be fixed because they're nice and they're boring and they're uneventful and whatever. But do you like to fix men? Do you think you can fix men?
Well, you know what? I tried and I failed. And, you know, there was one particular guy that I tried with for years. I spent a lot of my 20s working with this one guy. And I always thought I seemed like that little glimmer of hope. You know, he would tell me that he was going to change or he had an epiphany, and I kept thinking, I'm getting there. And we'd have a good night, and we'd just talk about everything, and I thought I was fixing him in my mind, you know, and then I had to come and figure out that I wasn't. So I think for me, I really had to open my eyes to, hey, you know, if this person is going to change, it's going to have to be because he wants to change. I can't do it for him.
Yeah, we don't change. Rarely do we change. Rarely. But anyway, the next one is interesting, and that is it's kind of titled Sperm Wars. Women are designed to procreate with the strongest possible gene. G-E-N-E, not J-E-A-N, okay? Bad boys send an unconscious message that they have great genes or they look good in them, one or the other, so they're not afraid to lose the woman, they're afraid of losing the woman by misbehaving or cheating. Nice guys are sending the message that they don't think their genes are good enough, so they won't misbehave. It goes back to Revenge of the Nerds almost, you know?
Yeah,
we won't get on that topic too much, but fear of intimacy is another reason that women date bad boys. If a woman is afraid of intimacy, she subconsciously knows she can avoid it with a bad boy, since she can never get close enough to him to have to go there. A nice guy will eventually want a commitment, and that scares a lot of women.
Oh, I agree with that. That was actually my problem.
with the other guy in your 20s?
Yeah, well, because I think for me, I think deep down, like, I knew that the non-committer, with me at one time, I feel like I was a little bit of a non-committer at one time. So I think deep down, I was afraid that if I got involved with the nice, good guy, that he would, you know, maybe want, you know, a true commitment with me and just want to be with me all the time, because I'm a person that likes to, I need my space. And I think I kind of thought, if I was with kind of the unattached, you know, non-committer, little bit of a bad boy, that there was no commitment there, and he wouldn't smother me. And I think in my mind, I thought a nice guy would. So, yeah, I totally agree with all that too.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of, and not specifically talking about you, but the next one is actually, I think, is very important, and it kind of nails it, and that's self-esteem issues. We don't, as humans, we don't feel comfortable with people who treat us better than we treat ourselves. So if you as a female have low self-esteem, the bad boy is going to simply reinforce your negative belief, while a nice guy is going to treat you in a way that you're not as familiar with or you're not comfortable with, because you've been treated like crap your whole life. So your self-esteem is in the toilet, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and maybe that's what makes me a nice guy. It just really pisses me off when I see women go back to guys who have abused them emotionally or physically or just, you know, really treated them like crap because they go back, oh, I love him so much. Why? You know, it's just irritating because, you know, you can do better, but a lot of women, especially in that situation, have been so beat down by the guy that they don't think they can do any better. So something is better than nothing. Amen. I'm preaching today, y'all. So anyway.
I think that there's some truth in that too. I mean, I think like in my case, I don't know that I really had like low self-esteem at the time, but I think I wasn't used to a guy just, you know, treating me too well, being too over the top. And I didn't know how to handle that at that point in my life. And that kind of goes back to the thing of, I thought, you know, a really nice guy was going to make me commit. And I mean, yeah, I think it's easy to settle for less. And yeah, there may be some, you just don't think you deserve that at the time or something. So yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that's the whole premise of the Jerry Springer Show. You know, is, you know, people with low self-esteem who, you know, they treat each other crappy, and that's why they end up on Springer. So, moving on. The next one you don't have to discuss if you don't want to, because it's about sex.
Okay.
Women feel that a nice guy is not as good in bed as a bad boy would be, okay? So, you know, nice guys can't take control. They can't, you know, take them the way they want to be taken. But the bad boy comes across as being able to bring on, you know, deliver the goods, bring on the bad stuff. And even though that may not always be the case, you know, but again, perception equals reality in a lot of people's minds. So, you know, I mean, I referenced it once already. If you ever saw the 80s movie Revenge of the Nerds, they made it really simple. Jocks, all they think about is sports. All nerds think about is sex. So, you know, sometimes the nice guy might actually be better than the bad boy. But you know what? Wait and hold off on that until the time is right either way. Okay? That way I don't sound like I'm condoning it. All right. Have you ever seen a bad boy, and I'm not speaking for me here, who wasn't hot? There are probably a few of them, but, you know, most bad boys, and my friend earlier was showing me a picture of the good bad boys side by side, and that was Adam Levine and David Beckham. All right. And so we had the discussion of why are these two considered bad boys and why are they nice guys all rolled up into one? Well, the bad boy thing was they were tatted up. That makes them look like bad boys. Okay. You know, arm tats, the whole tattoo thing, you know, makes them an automatic bad boy. But then they're nice guys because they're, you know, they smile a lot, they're family men, or, you know, they don't cheat, they don't, you know, do drugs, they don't do anything like that, they're athletic or they're musical, whatever the case may be, that makes them good guys. So David Beckham and Adam Levine over here in the category apparently all by themselves, while the rest of us toil in obscurity. So what do you think? What's the hot thing have to do with you? If you know a nice guy, is he automatically not hot to you?
No, I mean, I wouldn't agree with that, especially lately, because maybe it's just where I'm at in life right now. But, like, you know, someone that I've met recently is probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and to me, it makes him that much more attractive.
Oh, you're so sweet to say that about me.
I mean, he just looks, oh, yeah, John. I mean, you're an example of a nice guy that, yeah, I mean, I think.
Oh, you can't say the H word, Jimmy, can you?
I mean, I will admit, you know, by nature, a lot of bad boys do tend to be some of the hottest ones out there. I mean, there is just something about it. I mean,
yeah.
Some of these guys that are bad boys, I mean, they just, you know, they've got the muscles and they do their hair just right and they've got,
hair.
The smile. I mean, they have everything going on. And you know, they have the cool vehicle juices. They got the pickup truck. They got the sports car. I mean, you know, there's a bad boy knows he can get what he wants. And so sometimes even in career or whatever, he ends up being successful too. And so there can be so many things about that bad boy because he's an aggressor. He gets what he wants, whether it be, you know, material goods or the job that he's looking for. And so, yeah, I mean, by nature, I was attracted to bad boys. I mean, they're attractive guys most of the time. And I will admit, I mean, I had a harder time coming across a nicer guy that I was really attracted to, but I don't think it's so much about, you know, if he's a nice guy, I'm not attracted. I think it's just sometimes the guy's ego gets the best of them when they know they're good looking, and I think the confidence of how they see themselves kind of makes them into a bad boy, whereas a nice guy, they just kind of, I don't know. I think there is some kind of a correlation between that, but, I mean, there are definitely exceptions, and I am learning that, and so I think all women should wait for that nice guy. I really do.
Well, but they are few and far between. At some point, the bad boy has to either turn into a nice guy or, you know, find a woman equally as, you know, a bad girl. All the bad boys are going to die alone. Nobody wants that. But I mean, and living in Nashville as we do, obviously, you know, country music capital of the world, Music City, USA. You know, there's a lot of, you know, the kind of everybody playing on the radio right now, in country radio at least, is a male, is a guy. There's very few women on the radio right now. That's a whole other issue altogether. But you know, these guys are all, you know, you can perceive them all to be bad boys. You know, because they have the hats, the baseball cap backward. They have, you know, they're tatted and they have, you know, the scruffy beard and, you know, muscular or whatever. And they sing and they play and they tour and, you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, a lot of them are also family men, you know, who, you know, go to church on Sundays here and all that kind of thing. So I think you can kind of mix the two, but, and a lot of it is just, you know, it is image. It is what, you know, their label wants them to be and all that. But do you have a comment on that? Since you've been in that industry a little yourself, so.
Yeah, I think that, and in my personal experience, because I dated musicians, I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of bad boys in the industry. I mean, there's some nice guys in it, but, yeah, I mean, I've really been a part of that side of things, and that's actually my biggest heartbreak was a musician, and so, yeah, I mean, he's what I would consider a little bit of a bad boy, so
Well, just so you all know, we have banned Holly from ever dating musicians again, so She has a lifetime ban.
Yeah, so if you're a musician, please just leave me alone, all right?
Peace out, y'all.
I'm going with different occupations now.
Exactly.
So.
Good call. I wonder who thought of that. Anyway, all right. Next one is charm. Nice guys don't always know what to say, and sometimes, you know, at a loss for words, bad boys can be very charming and know exactly what women want to hear. They say what you want to hear. However, they eventually switch over to being selfish. And I was having that part of the discussion today with someone that, you know, eventually, I got called charming last week by somebody, and I was really offended by that, and I don't know why. But charming to me is somebody who is full of shit and is just trying to say and get what they want by saying what you want to hear. And you know, I kind of took offense to that because that's not who I am. Well, maybe it was at that point, but still, you know, eventually, you know, the bad boys turn over to being selfish. They reveal their color, their true colors. But by that time, you know, the woman has already fallen for him. So it's kind of interesting, but the charm that, I don't know, to me, that word is just offensive. I don't know why.
It is so interesting that you brought this up, John, because I definitely have a comment when you're done.
Yeah, we'll go for it. Go for it. I'm done preaching for that.
Okay. Anyway. You really hit the nail on the head with that whole thing. And just from knowing you all this time, like I don't think charming is a good word for you because, you know, when I think of charm, I think of someone that's being a little deceptive and maybe kind of sugarcoating their words. And this is really interesting because last week when I had somebody, try to come on to me and I felt like he was a smooth talker, he was like, "What do you think of me?" And I mean, he was this very attractive guy. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was charming. And when that came out of my mouth, it worried me because I don't see charming as a good thing either.
Yeah.
And I basically, the way I was seeing that is I was kind of thinking of what the Bible has to say about charm. You know, it says beauty is fleeting and charm is deceptive. And that's kind of how I've always seen that because the people that I've thought about being charming, there's a little bit of something underneath the surface there. So I don't think that charm is a good thing, and I don't think that's a good word to describe you.
I think that's the guy that we can't trust.
It's kind of the facade.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to speak my mind on that one. But thank you for that nice thing you said. There'll be an extra dollar in your paycheck this week. Okay, let's get over the charming thing. The other one, or the last thing, at least on this particular list, is protection, okay? Historically, men have protected women, physically and otherwise. It is true, that's a fact, don't sugarcoat it. But bad boys give the illusion of being able to protect their women, while with nice guys, women can't be so sure. You know, it is all about balance after all. Men fall into either the bad boy category or the nice guy category. I don't know that there's another category. You have to, women are the ones basically who put us men in one of those two categories. The ideal man is neither, but he walks a fine line between the two. Until men learn how to do this, though, more often than not, women will choose the bad boy until they realize that his bad qualities outweigh his good ones. Now, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the good bad boy, okay? Men should try to walk the fine line. Don't be a pushover. Don't automatically say yes when she says to do something. You know, if you have an opinion, express it. You know, if she says jump, don't say how high. Say, you know, something else, okay, or why. But, you know, because if the more you're a pushover, the less respect, as we talked about earlier, the woman will have for you. However, there is that fine line. You know, as they say, for married people, happy wife, happy life. So you have to walk that fine line. But in the dating area, we're not going to talk about marriage anymore, but in the dating area, you have to be firm. You have to be upfront. You have to be honest about the direction that, if there's a direction that is going. So, you know, if that puts you into the bad boy area where you're going to be upfront and honest and put your foot down and not get walked on, then good for you, guys. You know, ladies, you know, respect that. you know, respect the fact that we actually have a brain and opinion and all that kind of stuff and are willing to voice it to you so early in the relationship, because you know what that means? That means that we're not necessarily interested in getting in your pants right away. We might be interested in having an actual relationship with you, a give and take, a 50-50, and that kind of thing. Holly?
Yes.
Your take? Do you have one? Or what am I going off on it again? Tangent time.
Well, no, I was just kind of thinking, but, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying with all that, too. I was just kind of thinking of how to, I mean, I think you explained that well, but, yeah, I mean, there's a fine line. We don't want to push over, and I think that sometimes it is hard to find that fine line because a lot of people have a hard time kind of finding that fine line. And I don't really know how else to say that, but it's just, and even as a woman, I've had to figure that out for myself, you know, the fine line between doormat and then the girl that kind of, you know, speaks her mind and can hold her own. So, yeah, I mean, I get where you're going with that too. So.
Well, and I think it has to do, I mean, I want to, before we move on, I want to kind of address with you as a female, the perception that you all have when you visualize, when you see a guy for the very first time, do you automatically put him in one of those two categories?
Yeah, you know, I pretty much do.
What criteria do you use? That's ultimately my question. What kind of criteria do you use to decide whether he's a bad boy or a nice guy or whatever?
Well, you know, I've always kind of been a little bit of a people reader. I'm not saying that I'm always right, but, you know, I was into the behavioral sciences of things. I tend to kind of look at a guy's eyes, and I don't know what it is, but I can either see goodness or I can see bad. And I can kind of tell just from that. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, a guy that's got, you know, the big muscles and the tattoos and, you know, drives a certain thing, I mean, he might get put into that category a little bit quicker. Whereas the nice guy just kind of has that sweet, really polite personality. And the bad boy kind of just has that maybe a little bit of a cocky personality and just, you know, maybe overly confident with me. Like, because lately I've had an example of the classic bad boy and the classic good boy. So, yeah, I think it's like the nice guy, I mean, they just have this bright smile. They just have this goodness in their eyes. And they're polite. You know, they're the ones to open up the doors for you and to just, you know, kind of take good care of you, so to speak. But yeah, when I place a guy in the two, it's just and it's the way he talks. Like if somebody's, you know, using all these curse words the first time I meet him or being a little too forward, I see him as bad. If the guy's a little nervous with me and has a hard time making eye contact or, you know, just I can tell when a guy's nervous or confident. And so I think that does it too. Like too much confidence kind of makes me almost place you in the bad boy category.
Okay, but if he's nervous, he's either a nice guy or a serial killer, right?
This is one of our off-the-air convos, isn't it, John? Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
you're right on that, yes.
Yeah.
But see, that's the kind of nervous I don't believe. Because if you're being super forward and then you tell me that you're nervous, then I don't believe it, you know? So,
let you figure it out, yeah. Anyway, all right, well, I want to give...
I can tell legitimately nervous, so...
Well, that's very true. So I want to give some tips. I looked up some tips. I wanted to see some things that actually make a bad boy in the eyes of a woman or women in general. So, I mean, by bad boys, you know, we're talking about guys like James Bond and Cool Hand Luke and Han Solo, people like that who you have respect for, men respect, and women want. And I think that's a good example of, you know, guys walking the line a little bit. You know, they're cool, but they're bad. They get the image of being kind of a bad boy, but, you know, they take care of their business, you know. So these are some tips on maybe if you're a nice guy, channeling your bad boyness. If you're a bad boy, maybe bringing it back, toning it down a little bit to walk that fine line. So the first thing is, master the art of indifference. Okay, I like that word indifference because I'm indifferent to it. But bad boys understand the nature of being indifferent when it comes to dealing with the women in their lives. They understand that the less emotion they give off, the more emotion women want from them. That's interesting, don't you think?
Yeah.
As a nice guy who remains indifferent with your hands and, you know, hands on your jeans, you'll find you'll learn more about yourself without ever having to reveal more than you want to. So if you are sitting with somebody, if you're just hanging out, whatever, you know, you're doing here, the more you keep inside, maybe, the more she's going to want out of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, so, it totally does.
But again, you're walking the line because you don't want to ignore her. You don't want to, you know, totally blow her off or anything like that. But you want to be able to be a little, have a little bit of indifference. And maybe I shouldn't be telling a woman this because now you're going to be knowing all our secrets here. But
oh, I already know, all your secrets, John. It's cool.
Yeah, not my personal secrets, other people's secrets. But
I know y'all's species secrets, the male
species.
I know their
okay.
secrets.
We prefer gender over species. Thank you. But that's all good too. But yeah, just a little mystery, if you will. And mystery is best done by indifference. God knows women have that one down pat. Indifference, right?
Mm-hmm.
This will sound selfish, but you know, guys, put yourself first for a change. Okay. You know, I mean, it's okay to want to do something that you want to do for a change. It's okay to, you know, because bad boys always are going to do what they want to do first. And it's not, what? Are you making noises?
Am I?
Yeah, are you okay?
That's a dog.
Oh, that was the dog.
It's a little Yorkie. Yeah,
okay, sorry,
I'm not at home right now.
I thought you were sneezing or something.
No, it's a Yorkie.
Bad boys have a way about them in which they understand that women appreciate a guy who places himself above everyone else. Now, that's not meaning you're putting yourself on a pedestal, guys, that you're looking down on everybody or anything like that. But you know what? You got to do some stuff for yourself, too. You can do stuff for her, but you do stuff for you as well. And, you know, being the guy who doesn't alter his belief system or values just because you wanted to get a woman, you know, is respected and greatly admirable. Admirable. That's a word. Admirable, not admirable. That was stupid. Remember, as a nice guy, if you put yourself first, the women you're dealing with will never think to put you last. Good quote. Okay, let me read it again. As a nice guy, if you put yourself first, the women you are dealing with will never think to put you last. So, you know, use your, you know, that's a confidence. That's a self-confidence thing as far as I'm concerned, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, and that goes back to the whole don't be a pushover thing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, for instance, I mean, if the guy is, if he's tired and he can't come and get me for the night and take me somewhere and he really has to get his sleep or he really has to get something done, I mean, I would rather he just tell me than, you know, not tell me and then, you know, end up tired or fail at whatever he was going to do. You know what I mean? Like, I would just rather that he kind of put himself first in that case if he has to. Like, don't just do this because of me. You know, don't be afraid to tell me if you don't want to do something or, you know, vice versa, or if you want to do something. I mean, so, yeah, it's kind of the take charge thing.
Yeah, but there's also that line, well, if I don't go out with her tonight, she'll find somebody else who will. So, again, there's that fine line. It depends on where you are in your relationship and where, you know, what kind of a, you know, relationship you actually have. Hopefully she's not somebody, if she's walking all over you that way, you need to get out anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it does depend on where you're at in that relationship. I mean, you know, if you're in a full-fledged relationship and that's your boyfriend and, you know, and she's your girlfriend or vice versa, I mean, you should be at a secure enough place in your relationship that she shouldn't find somebody else because, you know, you can't go that night or you've got a busy week or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, if in the beginning stages, I could see how that could be.
It'd be a little bit weird.
But that's a whole other topic, I'm sure.
Yeah, and if she's worth it and you're worth it to her, she'll get it and she'll not go there. So, yeah. Okay. Remember your humor. Okay. Remember your sometimes guy humor, if we'll use that as a term. So, you know, guy humor, as an example, is telling fart jokes to the cutest girl in the room and not getting slapped. It's knowing how to make girls feel like complete idiots and intelligent at the same time. And it's knowing how to be yourself around the female sex without putting up any airs and no pedestals, we talked about, of any kind. The way a nice guy treats his modern warfare buddies is the same approach he should have when dealing with women. Okay? It's just like, you know, being a total jackass, but it's funnier. And women will respect that, okay? If you have trouble talking to women, figure out how to fix that. If you have trouble, you know, if you sweat a lot when you're in front of a woman, you need to figure out how to fix that. If you, you know, but you want to go in, you want to be, and not everybody's extroverted. You know, there's a lot of introverts out there. You know who you are. And, you know, it's not as easy as me saying it to do it, obviously. So you need to, you know, figure out ways to help cope with it if you want to get out there and talk. But, you know, women respond to that. Women like to laugh. You know, I often say that, you know, I was born with a birth defect. I was born without a filter between my brain and my mouth. So whatever comes out usually before I think about it. And, you know, if it comes out wrong, yeah, right? If it comes out wrong, then, oh, well, I'll apologize later, you know, but... And I have done that a lot in my life. But so that's one. Just remember your sense of humor and how women respond to senses of humor. Okay? You okay with all that one? With that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. The next one, and there's two more counting this one, so then we'll get some final thoughts from Ms. Holly and we will get on with our evening tonight. But that is the art of hanging up. The art of hanging up. Bad boys tend to live in their own world and they go through life by their own set of rules. True story. When it comes to conversations over the phone, a bad boy will usually wait until the conversation gets really good and then out of nowhere, click. He just hangs up. And you know what? It's okay to leave a woman at a loss for words because you guys always hang up on us if you have to. It's more than okay. It gets people's blood going. It solidifies the mystery that a bad boy possesses. Plus, you know what? It pisses you guys off, doesn't it? Have you ever been hung up on intentionally?
Not hung up on intentionally. I mean, you know, I can think back to when I was younger and maybe me and my boyfriend got into a fight and, you know, he hung up on me or I hung up on him. But in general, I haven't really had the hanging up experience too much. I mean, I do think, though, that a guy always tries to, you know, not say too much. And so, yeah, he might kind of leave you hanging like you wanted to know more about something or you know, whatever. So, I mean, I can see it to that extent. But, yeah. I mean, I've mainly only been hung up on because of a fight or something.
Okay, so. Well, even something like a normal conversation, like, you know, it's always like, well, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. Okay, you're still there. Okay, you don't, I mean, you just hang up already. Okay?
Right.
And now, here's the disclaimer, guys. Only ever hang up on a woman if you know for sure she is into you. Don't randomly start hanging up on women for the hell of it, okay? Because that's probably not going to get you anywhere. But if you know that, you know, if you're talking to a woman you've been out with before, you know there's something there, it's okay to hang up the phone first, you know? And I'm not talking about just slamming the door, the handset down or hitting end on your cell phone, whatever. You hang up. No, okay, hang up. Just hang up, okay? Because, again, believe it or not, even though you're done with your conversation, it brings an air of mystery to her. So why did he hang up first? You know, and it actually is pretty, and it works. That part I do know. I hang up first all the time, which is why I'm dating nobody right now, apparently. So good. Right? You're laughing again. Okay.
No, all right. I'm just laughing at you.
I know. I'm cracking myself up tonight. So, okay. And the last one is a physical. It's all about being physical. Once in a while, tap into your inner bad boy. When you get to the point of your relationship, when it becomes physical, get animalistic. Women, most women, will respond to that. not all the time, and not, you know, not painful. Don't get into all that stuff unless she's into it, but just take charge is what we're basically talking about. Take charge, and you know, a lot, most women will respond to that. And, you know, if you get to that point in your relationship, then, you know, that's what you need to do. But, you know, so there are some tips to, you know, kind of walk in that fine line between being a nice guy, you know, mix it up a little bit, you know, be nice one day, be a bad boy the next day, or one week, next week, whatever at a time. And, you know, see how that works out. Okay. Because, you know, variety and mystery and all the things that go along with it, it's a long process. A relationship takes work. It takes a lot of time to mature. It takes a lot of time to even get to the point of having a relationship, period. So how do you navigate that? Well, mix it up a little bit and see what happens. It might work out for you. Ms. Holly, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. It was
fun. And you want to give one more plug for your book? Shameless promotion time, y'all.
Yeah, well, I have a book coming out. It'll be next month. It's called Chick Flicks Lie, Sugar-Free Accounts of a Positive Pessimist. And basically what that book is about is just kind of a humorous look at the modern dating world that we're living in. And it kind of pokes fun at Hollywood, the fantasies that they show us, and kind of in contrast to how real life really is. And then it tackles kind of some of those questions that we find ourselves asking in the dating world today. So it's just kind of a laughable, lighthearted look that is just for people to relate to and to feel understood and just kind of, you know, think, wow, you know, I went through that too. So it's just a fun book, and it's coming out soon, and it'll be on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you can follow me on Facebook. I have a page called Chick Flicks Lie, and you can find me under Holly Marie Tong, and my Twitter handle is Holly Marie Tong. But more information coming soon. I've been releasing some promos and just some little hints there, here and there, some little excerpts. So I'm real excited about it, and anybody just wants to feel understood or wants to laugh, I think you'd like it.
Oh, yeah, and she only skewers a few people in the book, so no big deal. So thank Ms. Holly for joining us. Enjoy
thank
the rest
you.
Of your night.
I appreciate it.
Talk to you later. All right, let's go ahead and
bye.
Thank you, honey. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up tonight. Join me next week. I have a very special show next week. It's going to be about a good friend of mine approached me. She has been in the entertainment industry for quite a while, very well known. Lost her husband to cancer three years ago, and it's about finding love the second time. And she has a really compelling story about how she came and found her, the second love of her life. And we're going to share that story with everybody next week. It's going to be a really, really cool show. So join 6:30 next next Thursday night at 6:30 Central Time. Do check out the website, itsnotmeradio.com, where you can find the Twitter and Facebook links to join both of those for It's Not Me, It's Not Me, It's You. And I think that's all I have. Again, special thanks to Regime Entertainment for their continued sponsorship and music catalog, of which we're going to end tonight the way we started, with Steve Mandeel singing the song Beautiful Spell. We'll see you all next week. Thanks again for joining us, and peace out.
It's like the most unusual dream. The more that I'm around you, it seems clear. That I try to speak, I'm floating around with my head in the clouds. I can tell the beautiful spell. I don't know what to do to me. I start unraveling. I am more than just in the night. Got me under, I'm so overwhelmed by your beautiful spell. There's magic every time that we touch. I've never surrendered so much. Let this moment linger. Please don't snap your fingers, 'cause I don't ever wanna wake up. Don't want the morning sun to take us out of this haze. It's a wonderful place when I'm held in your beautiful spell. Beautiful.